Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter, Alice Bryant, and John Russell. Later, Ann Ball and Pete Musto will bring us this week's Personal Technology Report. But first, here is Mario Ritter.
This week, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe made a historic visit to Pearl Harbor in the American state of Hawaii. Abe went there on Tuesday with President Barack Obama. The two leaders placed great importance on the idea of reconciliation. Obama said,
"Wars can end. The most bitter of adversaries can become the strongest of allies."
The Prime Minister offered sympathy for the Americans who died in the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor 75 years ago. He expressed sincere and everlasting condolences for the deaths of more than 2,400 American servicemen. Abe joined Obama in placing wreaths at the USS Arizona Memorial. The memorial is built over the wreckage of the battleship that was destroyed in the attack on December 7, 1941. The visit brought added attention to the modern-day alliance between two nations that fought each other fiercely in World War II. In his speech at Pearl Harbor, Abe called the relationship between Japan and the United States an alliance of hope. Obama called the alliance the cornerstone of the Asia-Pacific area and a force bringing progress around the world. This was not the first visit to Pearl Harbor by a Japanese prime minister. However, it was marked with symbolism, coming 75 years after the surprise attack that led to U.S. involvement in World War II. It also comes 7 months after Obama became the first U.S. president to visit the Japanese city of Hiroshima, where the U.S. dropped the first atomic bomb used in war. Jeffrey Hornung is a researcher with the Sasakawa Peace Foundation in Washington, D.C. He says the visit has historical importance, but it also shows the depth of the alliance. Japanese-American ties were an issue during the 2016 U.S. presidential election campaign.
It sends a symbolic message to not only the incoming president-elect, but also to the region, that the U.S.-Japan alliance is stronger than ever, that we are able to confront past problems between us and still be stronger as allies.
Abe did not offer an apology for the Pearl Harbor attack, but he is the first Japanese leader to visit the USS Arizona Memorial. China, Asia's largest economy, criticized Abe's trip to Pearl Harbor. Before the visit, China's foreign ministry said Japan cannot turn over a new page of history without reaching an understanding with its Asian neighbors. China called Abe's effort wishful thinking. Japanese officials have been concerned that U.S. President-elect Donald Trump may not value the alliance with Japan as other presidents have. U.S.-Japan economic ties remain very deep. However, the inability to pass the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement has hurt Abe at home, says Hornung.
The failure of the TPP, even under the Obama administration, has been concerning because Prime Minister Abe put a lot of political capital into this. He had to confront some agricultural cooperatives within his own country and really confront opposition with his own party with this to be able to push it through his country.
The Japanese leader noted in his speech the part the U.S. played in rebuilding Japan after the war into the economically strong democracy it is today. I'm Mario Ritter.
Workers recently lined up outside a camp in northern India to open bank accounts. The line formed at a traffic stop in the center of Gurgaon in Haryana State. One of the workers was Ishwari Lal, a daily wage laborer. He is like millions of migrant laborers across India. They work in small factories or businesses, at building projects, or as security guards, drivers, and servants. Lal's wages were always paid in cash, and he spent the money carefully. He sent some of it to his family. He used the rest to make rent payments for his one-room home and buy food or supplies. But Lal has only been paid one-fourth of his wages since severe cash shortages began affecting the country. 6 weeks ago, the Indian government banned high-value banknotes of 500 rupees, or $7.50, and 1,000 rupees. The move was aimed at finding and seizing large amounts of illegal cash. Lal's employer asked him to put his wages in a bank. He is doing that now, but worries that getting the money back from the bank will be difficult. Since the ban was announced, many Indians have stood in long lines at banks to get money. And banks are not giving customers the amount they demand as the banks run out of money faster than it is replaced. If I need 10,000 rupees, I get 2,000 rupees. How can I manage in just this much money? I have faced massive problems, Lal said. He wonders how he can buy food, pay for medicines, or send money home to his children. Some employers are also facing cash shortages and beginning to give out checks to pay wages. In India, hundreds of informal sector workers are opening bank accounts. The informal sector is a part of the economy that is not taxed and not regulated by the government. According to some estimates, nearly 480 million Indian nationals earn cash in the informal sector. That represents 80% of the country's workforce. As the cash shortages continue, the informal sector is slowing down. This is affecting economic growth in one of the world's fastest growing economies. Companies have reduced employees as business drops sharply, and factories have laid off workers after having to slow down production. Wages are either not being paid on time or being paid in old banknotes. This has led some migrant laborers in big cities to return to their villages. The ones who have stayed in cities are still struggling to get paid. Harsh Singh is a self-employed driver in New Delhi. Singh says he has not been getting calls from his regular riders since cash shortages began to get worse. He said his work has decreased by at least 50%, and his passengers only make part of the payment. "So I have to go back to get my money," he said. He is thinking of opening a bank account to accept online payments, even if they sometimes amount to less than $10. Several economists, however, say the currency ban will have good long-term effects. They say it will help improve controls on small businesses and factories, and it will help bring poor people into the banking industry. Millions in India have no ties to banks and cannot get financial services, credit, or insurance. While it is too early to know the exact effect of the currency ban on economic growth, economist N.R. Panumurthy said informal jobs have suffered. He works at the National Institute of Public Finance and Policy. Panumurthy said there is an effect on the employment situation because of the general drop in economic activity. People are also spending less, but spending is the biggest driver of the Indian economy, Panumurthy pointed out. But he expects this to be a short-term drop. He said that when spending returns, India may also see an increase in employment. I'm Alice Bryant.
Aid agencies and rights groups say about 25,000 members of the ethnic group known as Rohingya have crossed into Bangladesh since October. They are fleeing violence as the government fights rebels in Rakhine State. Many of the new arrivals are saying that Myanmar's security forces are attacking civilians. Some rights groups say satellite pictures support claims that whole villages have been burned to the ground. For Guljahar, there is nothing left to go home to. Her three sons disappeared during an attack in November. She describes how soldiers came to her village and carried out violence. "The soldiers burnt down all the houses and everything we had in our village. The rice that we kept in a barn, they burnt it all. We had nothing left," she said. Abu Tahek, who traveled to Bangladesh with his wife and four of his six children, tells of witnessing Myanmar security forces committing rape. "The shop owner and farmer left his house and land behind. He still does not know where two of his sons are." The government denies that abuses have taken place. A statement posted to the Ministry of Information's website on December 19th criticizes the international community for putting pressure on Myanmar's government. Jo Moo Tun, the Director General of the Myanmar Ministry of Foreign Affairs, says accusations of abuse are not helpful. But he said that the government is ready to work with those who provide evidence of suspected crimes. Whoever has that kind of information, please bring it forward and give us the concrete evidence. Then the government is ready to look into the matter, he said. In an interview with IRIN News, Foreign Ministry spokeswoman A.A. So said, "The things they are accusing us of didn't happen at all." She added, "I am sure there are people going over the border. I accept that. But I don't know if it could be 20 or 30,000. It's blown out of proportion." However, human rights groups dispute the government's statements. They say that evidence shows Myanmar's military is committing rights abuses. In a report published in mid-December, Amnesty International says that satellite pictures show that about 1,200 Rohingya homes have been burned. The government says that Rohingya militants have burned the homes. But, Amnesty says, eyewitness reports and satellite pictures show that the burning patterns are consistent with targeted and systematic attacks by the military. Another human rights group, Human Rights Watch, says other satellite imagery shows the government is behind the burnings. The images show a military post next to the village of Wapaik, where around 300 buildings have been burned. Brad Adams, the Asia director at Human Rights Watch, said, "It's difficult to believe that militants burned down over 300 buildings in Wapaik over a one-month period while Burmese security forces stood there and watched." Foreign reporters and humanitarian groups have been banned from going to the northern part of the Rakhine State, making it difficult to document violence in the area. Several journalists will be permitted into the area this week, but it is not clear how freely they will be able to travel. I'm John Russell.
This is what's trending today. A few months ago, photographs of carved pumpkins were all over social media. Some of the bright orange vegetables were cut in such a way to look like the face of Donald Trump. At the time, he was the presidential candidate of the Republican Party. As we move closer to 2017, birds seem to be on many people's minds as they prepare to celebrate the Chinese Year of the Rooster. On social media, some people are comparing Donald Trump's hair to the colorful, soft feathers of a rooster. In November, the People's Daily newspaper published a photo of a bird with blonde feathers, saying it looked like Trump. But a large shopping center in China crossed an image of the U.S. president-elect with the Year of the Rooster and created a large statue. The photo of the shopping center's new mascot is causing a stir. The new mascot is a white rooster with gold hair that looks similar to Trump's hair. The shopping center is in Taoyuan, about 500 kilometers southwest of Beijing. Some smaller versions of the mascot are being sold at local stores and on the website Taobao. Prices go from $57 to almost $2,000. Broadcaster CNN reported on the story. In its report, one person said, "The rooster is very cute and funny. I'm sure it will attract a lot of customers." And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
The year 2016 was filled with stories about or involving personal technology. New products and services kept us wondering what technology will be like in the future and how it might affect our lives. 2016 was a time of change worldwide. High-tech inventions, changes to existing services, and even product failures combined to make this a year to remember.
Digital assistants rose in popularity with the launch of Google Assistant in the Pixel phone and the Google Home smart speaker. Google Assistant can give you a list of activities, answer search questions, and tell you when it is time to leave for your next meeting. It is similar to digital assistants Siri from Apple and Alexa from the American company Amazon. In 2016, Alexa expanded its reach into two new Amazon products, Dot and Tap. The service was made available to other businesses last year, so this year, it began appearing on products not made by Amazon. Each Friday in 2016, Amazon sent subscribers an email with new skills for Alexa. The company also created a page for users to discover Alexa's skills. This year, Apple gave Siri the ability to connect to software programs known as third-party apps. As a result, you can use Siri to order a car with the Uber ride service or find a business with the Yelp mobile app.
This year, Facebook made a number of changes, including adding Reactions. Now, you can do more than like a post on the website. You can express reactions such as love, ha-ha, wow, sad, and angry. Facebook now offers live video, so you can share live stream videos with your friends and watch videos from those you follow. Facebook also added GIFs in Messenger and more ways to share photographs.
In March, the American company Tesla announced plans for its third model car and began accepting orders for the vehicle. The car, called Model 3, will begin to ship in late 2017. This model has a starting price of $35,000. It has many of the same high-tech devices as the first two Tesla models, which cost more. Owners of the Model 3 will have an electric car with autopilot hardware. It has seating for 5 adults and can travel a distance of almost 350 kilometers before needing more electricity. Nearly 400,000 people have already ordered a Model 3. They gave Tesla a $1,000 deposit without even seeing or driving the car.
The two biggest smartphone apps this year have been games. Both Pokemon Go and Super Mario Run quickly topped the app charts and broke records. Pokemon Go became a hit over the summer in the United States. The game was reported to have caused 110,000 traffic accidents in 10 days. Earlier this month, Apple began offering the Pokemon Go app on its Apple Watch. Super Mario Run also was released in December. The game is currently at the top of the iTunes Store app charts. 2017 may bring this popular app to the Android operating system.
People who like watching videos got good news in 2016 with Netflix and Amazon Prime Video expanding their services. Netflix now lets users download videos with its Android and iPhone and iPad apps, which Prime Video began offering in 2015. Both Netflix and Amazon Prime Video extended their service areas this year. Netflix says it now provides programming to more than 190 countries, while Amazon Video Prime is available in 200 countries worldwide.
One of the biggest tech stories involved the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 phone, which could catch fire and explode. Samsung recalled the Galaxy Note 7 after it was banned on airplanes. The company has not yet stated what has caused the problem. A software update will soon cause the phone to become unusable, forcing users to trade in their phone for a non-exploding model.
An individual's right to privacy was balanced against law enforcement's interests in the United States this year. It started when the Federal Bureau of Investigation tried to get Apple to open the iPhone of Syed Farouk. Officials say he and his wife shot and killed 14 people last December in San Bernardino, California. The FBI tried to find evidence on the iPhone to help with its investigation. The court case was launched when Apple refused to provide computer software to unlock the phone. The case was dropped when investigators found a way to open the device without Apple's help.
Finally, users of Yahoo Mail got bad news not once, but twice this year. In September, Yahoo announced that 500 million mail accounts were hacked in 2014. Then, in December, the company announced that over 1 billion mail accounts were attacked in 2013. Yahoo Mail users interested in changing email services now have a difficult time as the company has turned off its auto-forwarding service. I'm Ann Ball.
And I'm Pete Musto.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.